Okie doke, Ken. This year, I wanted things to run a little bit smoother. We are nary halfway through February, and things have still not run very smoothly, including my very own health causing a skippage of last week's possible show.
Yes, this time I don't think you can blame it on me. I was ready to roll,
Yeah,
but
that was all my fault. The only balls to be busted are my own.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're owning up to it, and I think, speaking for myself at least, everybody gets sick sometimes, and you're entitled to as well. As a human being.
As, well, that's great.
Yes.
So yeah,
speaking of
that wicked cough may make an appearance here.
yes.
I'm gonna try to stifle that as much as humanly possible, but
Yeah.
you know, we shall see.
If you hear things get kind of muffled for Kevin, I might be just like kind of using a pillow as a muffler to kind of dampen his coughing a little bit.
If you don't
But
see a post on Monday about WWE Raw, you know.
that's right. This will be the evidence that people use against me. I probably shouldn't have just said that, but I can kind of think of somebody else who probably had a moment like that where they felt like, oh, geez, I wish I hadn't have done that. You ever have a moment like that, Kevin?
Well, I will say that
Speaking
every
of,
now and
yeah.
again, when I was a little bit younger, I did not have a problem with playing a prank or even using various quantities of fireworks to make different things explode.
Now you're talking about like a potentially dangerous prank, I think.
I'm saying that I may have I may kind of understand where this kid was coming from. recently in the news here in Florida, I believe he's a 19-year-old kid who threw a live alligator through the drive-through window of a Wendy's in Florida.
Because of course it's in Florida.
Well, Florida is pretty crazy from what I have ended up figuring out. One of the wonders of the internet is maybe opening up some bad habits of any and every region of the United States. Maybe you're, I would say that we are familiar with what happens in Pennsylvania and at least certain parts of Ohio.
Yes.
So, I guess I didn't worry in my childhood about stories about Florida. But they seem to deliver them in spades.
I feel like ever since the 2000 election, it's been like a bad run for Florida. And even like at the time of that election, I remember thinking like or hearing of something of a current of like, hey, this is just going to make us the laughing stock of the country again, or like there had been something before that that people were like that Florida didn't have a great reputation for whatever reason. But yeah, apparently I would say that they have taken a big hit since that Hanging Chad incident, et cetera.
Well, I'm not sure that this kid had much to do with ha any hanging chads.
No, I don't believe the alligator in question had a name. And if so, he really threw him more than hanged the alligator. I guess hanging him out the window, maybe, but I don't know. Again, I don't think the alligator's name was Chad, so this really doesn't
Okay.
affect anything.
He was a 24 years old. So, honestly, if I would have seen 19, I would go, you know what, whatever. I would have done something dumb. Like, I tried to blow stuff up. I'm not going
to... Would you try to blow up a Wendy's, though?
No. I wouldn't have done it into a Wendy's. It was usually inanimate objects.
Right.
That were what was involved in blowing uppings.
Blowing uppings, exactly. Well, we should reiterate that this was not blowing up anything.
No, Joshua James of Jupiter, Florida, decided to toss a 3.5-foot alligator into the drive-through window of a Wendy's.
You know what I just realized when you said that is that Jupiter, Florida, I'm almost 100% sure, was the setting for American Horror Story Freak Show. Because they were in some town in Florida, and I'm pretty sure it was Jupiter.
I think you're correct. That is I did not watch this past season of American Horror Story, but I did watch last year's.
Wow, that was that is like some psychic... I don't know, or appropriate in some way, at least. because this guy apparently aroused suspicion before throwing the alligator through the drive-thru window, because he was seen climbing out through the window of his car instead of opening the door, and then, like, him with other people, like, looking through the window at something constantly, they said.
Yeah, he was just kind of plotting to toss the alligator in the correct timing thereof.
No, this was like a smallish alligator, but still, that seems like it would be somewhat dangerous, you know. I guess that's probably part of the allure, you know, people are taking risks, you know.
Yeah, again, I guess that's why in some ways I understand what the kid did. It is unwarranted.
Because what is the reward here? I mean...
just the reaction, like the people inside Wendy's pooping a duck, that is the reward.
Potentially he knew somebody there, maybe. I don't know. I can imagine
there
that.
Is a possibility that he knew someone there and he thought it would be funny to freak them out.
Yes.
Again, there's a difference between understanding and condoning. Right. I'm going to get that across.
because you don't understand, but you're definitely condoning this.
No, I think you have that wrong. I think you have that backwards. I can understand, but do not necessarily condone.
Oh, okay.
The actions of this young... Because a 3.5-foot gator is a pretty decent-sized gator.
Well, yeah.
They grow, the females, I believe they said, were an average of 8 foot, and the males grow to an average of 11 foot. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to toss that size gator inside of a Wendy's drive-thru. I mean, those things are massive.
If you're going to throw an 11-foot gator through the Wendy's drive-thru window, I would like to meet you. That would be really impressive. This guy, I mean, you know, part of the humor for me is that was considered the alligator was both considered a deadly weapon and the victim of a crime in this scenario because he was charged with assault with a deadly weapon. I presume the alligator was the weapon.
Yeah, I mean, it is a weapon. I thought it was... okay.
And then he was also charged with interfering with the alligator, which is an endangered species in Florida.
Because it's petty theft. I didn't even... I didn't, you know what? I don't know why I didn't catch that part. I think because I heard the tape of his mom talking about him just being a prankster.
Oh, I didn't listen to that one.
On a radio show. So I guess I felt like I was generally familiar with all of what happened here. But I guess I did not realize possession or transportation of an alligator is the one charge, and petty theft. So I guess grabbing a gator off the side of the road is considered petty theft, which is kind of goddamn funny.
I wonder, was that it, or do you think he like drove away without paying? And they like,
oh, maybe they got him for that.
Folks, we're sending our...
Well, it does not really say if that's what he did. It's open. This article in particular from the Washington Post.
We're not going to be able to call this one tonight, folks, but...
yeah.
We're going to have our people working on it overnight.
I mean, they said that the attendant was at her register, but I mean, that doesn't mean he didn't pay necessarily.
Right, he waited until the attendant turned her back and went to do something else, and then throw the alligator through, which I think was at least a little bit courteous.
Well, and that's the part where I think if you're getting enjoyment out of it, don't you want to see the person's face when you toss an alligator at them? I mean, that's got to be part of what you want for fun, right?
I almost agree with you, but then it's like, you know, it's almost a fool's errand to try to put ourselves in the mind of someone who thinks it's a good idea. Like, how are we to know what they're trying to get out of this? Like, do they want to see the person? Do they not want to see the person? I just don't feel like I have enough of a solid ground here to understand what it is that, you know, he's going for here. So, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm just thinking it makes it easier when you're not having to, like, wrestle somebody for an alligator, potentially. Like, if that person was, like, noticing you, you know, brandishing your alligator, preparing to, you know...
Yeah, I mean...
Breach the window.
It does really call into question how this all... transpired, honestly, because I mean, they vaguely describe it, but it's him and a friend were driving, so I mean, there was a second person in the vehicle.
Yeah, there had to be somebody there, like, kind of wrangling the alligator, I would think, a little bit while he was driving.
Well, and I'm not sure, does it even say that he's the driver necessarily?
Well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the passenger had the alligator, because the driver reaches across the inside of his vehicle in the passenger area and throws an alligator. So, yeah, whoever was with him, and I guess I'm assuming since they want him, he is the person in throwing question here.
Yeah, the thrower.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would imagine his friend would be in some trouble, too, for also participating in these hijinks.
Yeah, if they can put him as being the passenger, it sounds like he is in some trouble as well. Well, I don't know. This one is just, like, it's really close to being something that I could kind of see thinking was a good idea at some point, but I don't really think I would ever do that. Go quite that far.
I cannot say that I did anything of that nature.
It's pretty close. I did some pretty stupid pranks, like stealing road signs. But, like, I would not steal, like, a stop sign. You know, that's, like, that's the difference I see there. It's just a safety.
So you just wanted something that said, like, a street name on it?
Yeah, something like that, you know.
I did always want to steal. There's a Kent State Lane down near where my parents live, and I've always kind of wanted to swipe that street sign.
Oh, well, you know, that's interesting, because they, you know, if you would ever catch them when they're switching over, that's when you would, like, have, like, a guilt-free chance to kind of...
Just snag one.
But, yeah.
Put it in order for it. So hey, whenever you guys change that out, I could buy that other one.
Yeah.
think it'd be really cool to have.
You probably have to bribe somebody, but, you know, depends how much you'd be willing to pay for that street sign. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd be kind of interested to see what they, I'd ask for a price first and then go from there.
Interesting.
I don't think I'd spend over $100.
Yeah. Sometimes, people say you should get in there and say the first price, because that's like the price anchor then, that people will kind of psychologically
work around that number.
Yeah. That's what I heard anyway.
Okay, well, yeah, I would drop $100 on them then. Because, I mean, that seems like a reasonable price if they're getting rid of it. Might be a little bit on the high end. But, you know, it'd be pretty cool to have. Like, I'm willing to go out on a limb and pay $100 for that, I guess.
See, well, maybe you could go 90 and then end up at 100. And then, like, he feels like he got a little bit of a deal out of it. Anyway,
start with 75.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Just this is a, you know, every week we like to give a little bit of a negotiation tip in the middle of our podcast.
Yes, while talking about a gentleman who assaulted somebody with a
deadly alligator.
With a deadly alligator.
Now, I wonder, this is a question. If the alligator had been deemed, like, not deadly, like, if it was a, you know, older alligator maybe, or even a baby alligator?
Well,
like, would they have to,
I guess,
to prove that, you know?
I wouldn't, it would have shocked me, but I would not be completely scared to handle a 3.5-foot alligator. Like, I've seen ones bigger than that that would give me a pause for concern. Maybe, like, a 5-footer.
Yeah.
When I got my ex-wife a snake, they had, like, a 5-footer in there, a 5-foot gator in there. And that was starting to get a little...
A little bigger than you wanted to wrestle?
Yeah. A little bigger than I'd care to concern myself with.
I hear you.
3.5-foot, still kind of manageable, kind of on the big side, but, and I mean, I think that's the way our snake Fluffy ended up, too. Like, it was pretty big at 6 foot or so.
Ooh. Yeah, I'd say so.
But also not, you know, like an anaconda or a Burmese python kind of huge, either.
Not snakes on a plane.
Not snakes on a motherfucking plane.
Got it. Well, you know, there's snakes on a plane. There's 8-legged freaks. There's arachnophobia.
Yeah.
There's
a very good man. Really, introduction to John Goodman for me.
Arachnophobia was your intro to John Goodman.
Was Roseanne before that?
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, then never mind.
Okay, all right.
Ignore me, then.
Let the record show.
Kevin's an idiot.
We've retracted that statement. and the jury should not consider it for the duration of the podcast.
Well, I still enjoyed his part in that anyway.
Yes, we can all agree at that. But spiders... Kevin, I'm talking about spiders here.
My grandmother infamously would not go in to see the snakes at the zoo, and also would not go to see the spiders.
Mm. We all can remember that, I'm sure.
I actually freaked out the ex-wife by talking about getting one of those... They had in... this same pet shop, because they actually supplied zoos here in Columbus.
Wait, they supply zoos?
Yeah.
Who, you can get a zoo? Or
No, they grow anacondas for the zoos.
Oh.
Like, they had sent one to the Columbus Zoo, the St. Louis Zoo. I feel like there was a third one that they mentioned when we got Fluffy way back in probably the early 2000s.
San Diego Zoo, Pittsburgh Zoo.
Maybe Pittsburgh. It was more of a regional thing. I mean, St. Louis isn't that. I mean, it's far away, but it's not that far away either. I mean, it's only 8 hours.
Okay, so.
But anyway, I wanted. I was talking to her about getting a dinner plate spider, which honestly, the legs are big enough that if you think of a dinner plate, it, you know, has a body about, you know, the size of an oatmeal cookie.
Yeah. you might say a thank you, Barry Munch, Girl Scout cookie.
But they have exceptionally long legs. They kind of look like tarantulas, but the legs are kind of a little bit longer and not quite as thick as a tarantula's.
I think the idea of the spider is terrifying, but the idea of it being on a dinner plate is somehow more terrifying. And like the very name of the spider is like making you think about this, like it perched covering this whole dinner plate, like just kind of, I don't know, taking over.
Yes, yeah,
asserting dominance somehow, I suppose.
The spiders have not really bothered me as much as the snakes. Now, I did get used to snakes. But I was kind of okay, weirdly, for whatever reason, with the spiders. And, yeah, there is a new one that was found out in California. And it happened to be found near Folsom Prison.
A new spider, you say?
Yes, a new spider. And they went pretty easy on the name. They named it Aphon Pelma Johnny Cashy.
Johnny Cashy. Yeah.
Or Cashy?
Cashy, Cashy. I think it would be Cashy, yeah. So, I don't know why they make up names and make it, try to make it sound Latin, but for some reason that is what people like to do, scientists-wise. So, yeah, this was basically a bald attempt at naming the spider after Johnny Cash.
Yeah, and they're getting more and more plain about the names, too.
Yes.
I feel like even the plain names kind of had some type of meaning behind them.
Yeah, it was like a little wordplay, like, or...
Or it was like a saint that it was named after, or like, you know, something in the past that kind of applied to the subject at hand.
Oh, yeah. So it could be like, you know, Saint Lucy or something to like remind you of martyrdom. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's, what's his, Saint Francis of Assisi was always the patron saint of animals because he was supposed to have, you know, attracted all types of animals to his.
He was the original Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could talk to the animals, man. So I would imagine he would have been able to talk to a tarantula.
Well, they are animals. I think.
Yeah, they're pretty big, too, most of the time. Again, like, they're not quite dinner plate spider, but tarantulas are kind of big and hairy.
Yeah, I don't know if they talk so much. They might communicate with their some type of intricate dance or something, I would imagine. But I don't know. If we humans have quite gotten to where we can communicate effectively across species at this point. So we may not be able to talk to them. What I'm saying is that, you know, you or I are not St. Francis, so we're not able to talk to these spiders and ask them how they feel about being named after Johnny Cash. But I gotta feel like that would be a pretty cool deal there.
I did enjoy that the spiders, in true Johnny Cash fashion, are all black. That is not necessarily the case with all tarantulas.
Mm.
Some of them are striped. So, yeah. They're not necessarily solid as a color as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is something unique and does apply to the Johnny Cash name, too.
Yeah, I think so. And being near Folsom Prison, that makes sense. And, you know, everybody likes Johnny Cash, so why not go with it?
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like a good, quick topic.
So, you know, you were saying that usually spiders are, you think of tarantulas, the classic tarantula is striped. I was just thinking about things that are striped, and aren't tigers striped, Kevin?
Well, you are correct. Tigers are striped.
I thought so. And this kind of brings me to a topic that I really wanted to get to when we were talking about how we went down to the jungle there to watch Pittsburgh beat the Bengals.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
But I recently came across this article that I wanted to share with you about, well, I figure we all know, I guess, from our childhood, Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not have much of Tony the Tiger, I don't think.
Well, you can remember the commercials, I imagine.
They're great.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I recently, speaking of childhood, what, did I say that with too much gusto?
No, I was just blown away, you know, like how sometimes somebody will say something so perfectly, it'll like transport you back to wherever you were when you kind of first remember hearing that, you know? That's kind of what you did for me there.
You
really nailed it.
I enjoyed on a recent Robot Chicken, they had the Kool-Aid Man come in and go, oh yeah, and then he realizes it's a religious service, and the preacher spikes him and then starts serving the Kool-Aid to the congregation. Oh. And he goes, oh, yeah, oh, no. It's just like, oh, my God, that is so wrong.
Yeah, I think it's probably a callback to the Jim Jones group down there in, where the hell were they? They're in the jungle in South America somewhere.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly where they were.
But, you know, tigers, getting back to the jungle.
Yeah, way different jungle, too. You've either got to go to the Indian jungle and or the African jungle.
Or Cincinnati jungle, but we'll get to that.
No, those are Bengals. They are not tigers, and they are not cheetahs, either.
Bengal tigers, though. They are tigers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They are tigers. Man. They're the Indian type.
I had to smack you down, man. No, I don't like to do that.
You really had to bring the show down a notch, Ken.
I hate to go negative, you know, this early in the campaign here, but yeah,
Bengal are tigers. Yeah, it's it. So there is a possibility that Tony the Tiger
is a Bengal tiger.
Is a Bengal tiger?
I don't know. I might have to try to look that up. But anyway, this article, Kevin. Kind of a, you know, like I said, we remember Tony the Tiger from these commercials growing up.
Yes.
He has a Twitter account, something I did not realize.
I did not realize, but also am not shocked.
Yeah. That's the sort of thing you kind of expect.
Yeah, it's a corporation. They have a mascot. I am not surprised that it has a Twitter account. Like, I don't know if Ronald McDonald's has a Twitter, but I would imagine that the character himself, and maybe even the Hamburglar,
yeah,
have a handle.
I would hope that they kind of, like, tweet at each other and sort of, like, have Twitter feuds.
Twitter beefs?
Well, I don't know. Twitter beefs, yeah. The hamburgers, I get it.
I actually didn't mean that, but I'll take it.
Okay.
But to get back to Tony the Tiger here.
Yeah.
He evidently is a target of affection in the furry community.
That's right.
So this is an important fact of this story that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, apparently he began receiving tweets that were of an amorous nature, shall we say.
Yes.
From people who were kind of, you know, I guess, self-styled tigers and other animals who would...
yeah, just admirers of Tony the Tiger in the furry community.
Yes. I was thinking catching some of these guys' names here, but...
And I did like the tiger's bowl of milk. I was just like, oh man, you are really starting this article off like on the wrong foot.
yeah. So just to explain to people, the furries are people who dress up in animal suits.
Yeah.
Sometimes for sex. Sometimes for just, you know,
enjoyment.
Like they would like to wear animal suits. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It is pretty funny that they just kind of mentioned the history of the furries in this article, because that's one of those things that I just remember being exposed to it on CSI. And I'm not going to say that CSI was cutting edge, so I'm going to guess that it was going on for a while if it got on CSI.
Oh, yeah. I can remember hearing... I feel like maybe like around the time of the internet taking off is when I kind of first started hearing about that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely a late bloomer in that department.
But it was kind of a, you know, hush-hush sort of thing, I feel like.
Well, yeah, and that's why they were kind of saying how it's more of an open society. Now, just because it's been around for a while, and that I guess people are at least slightly more accepting about something that kind of crazy.
Yeah. I was just trying to see, I couldn't find the, oh, I guess I couldn't find the original tweet here that prompted all of the sort of attention that he got, but
Yeah, Tony the Tiger's response, though, to all of the lewd tweets was, I'm all for showing your stripes, feathers, etc., but let's keep things great and family-friendly, if you could. Cubs could be watching with a smiley face.
I love the great. He throws that in there.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger is, if nothing else, a slogan whore.
Even in a tweet, when you only have, you know...
160 characters... And you waste 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I guess it's 1, 2, 3, 4. You waste 4 characters to spell great. You have a dash, R, dash, and a second R. So that's 4.
Oh, well.
4 letters.
He could just say, let's keep things family friendly, and then he'd be saving 3 dashes there, it looks like.
And, oh, I did forget about the double dash. I don't, yeah, why have the double dash? No, so, the ampersand, it's to shorten and.
No, but I'm saying...
How are you going to shorten an ampersand?
If you're taking out one of those things, you're not going to need an and anymore. If you're just going to say, let's keep things family friendly. Like, if he didn't have to say, great, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I'm saying he had to.
Well, maybe you're right.
But, I mean, he doesn't need to use that dash afterwards. There's no reason that great and family friendly can't just go together.
Well...
I'm just saying that Tony the Tiger needs some help with his...
Yeah, obviously Tony the Tiger, you know, he's...
And I do understand your point. He doesn't need to put the slogan in there, but he needs to put the slogan in there. He's fucking Tony the Tiger.
I bet he does put it in every tweet.
Yeah.
We'll have to go look at his history, but I have a feeling...
No, I'm not going to look at Tony the Tiger's history.
We're going to check that out after we're done recording this podcast. So it may take us another couple hours, but that's all right. I don't think that's any problem, you know.
So enter into the fray since Tony the Tiger is losing some cat love.
Right, because he ended up blocking some people
for being
maybe a little too lewd, perhaps.
And honestly, I don't blame him. Like, if they were sending him graphic, pornographic pictures,
or even, like, messages, really.
Yeah, it was not necessary.
Because other people could see that, too, right? Like, people that follow you.
Yes.
So you'd want to block that, I think.
Yeah, I have no problem with Tony the Tiger's position, actually.
But perhaps sensing weakness, like
yes.
A fellow predator.
Yeah, now cheetahs definitely...
they never prosper, I know that much.
Wow!
But they do have...
Wow!
They do have some at least fairly tasty snacks.
Yeah, Cheetos are a greasy, good,
you know,
shouldn't probably been eaten treat. But I do like having some Cheetos every now and again.
Sure.
That being said.
Sure. And you,
small 99-cent bag every now and again.
Right.
It's the spot.
Well, you're no stranger then to Chester
Cheetah. Chester Cheetah. A very fast group of the animal cat family.
And living up to his name, I don't think he wasted a lot of time before pouncing here.
No, he. I welcome fans to my Twitter feed. Scales, feathers, or fur. If you enjoy my tweets, then welcome.
Yeah, and he.
And the furries loved him in response, which is, and they were actually show someone in a furry costume eating Cheetos Puffs,
and not just a bag of Cheetos Puffs, but it's like a ginormous bag, or else they have it like forced perspective somehow. Because
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because that head has got to be pretty big. That's got to be like a Sam's Club sized or Costco sized bag of Cheetos.
Right, or else it's Photoshopped or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Either that or that squirrel head's just, it's a squirrel, right?
Is that a squirrel? Yeah, I guess you're right. It kind of looks like a, I assumed it was a cat, but the ears
could
look
be
more like squirrel's ears.
Yeah.
Really.
It could be either.
Well, the Twitter name seems to say
Novar
is a goofy cat. Well, unless they're throwing us off the trail. You never know. these furries can't be trusted.
But it is pretty interesting. I did find it pretty interesting, the Washington Redskins colored ears on Novar earlier. Because the rest of them is gray. Very toned down, but very fancy ears.
Hmm.
I wonder if that means something.
I don't know. It could be, those could be like sharpened points up there. And you might be able to impale people with those.
Maybe it denotes what kind of engagement they enjoy.
Could be sending messages. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
So that could be like...
they probably clean themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Or groom each other for, perhaps. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well. Probably some sniffing going on.
I would imagine some sniffing.
You know, we're not going to say necessarily where people are sniffing, but...
Oh, my God.
There would be some sniffing, is all I'm saying.
There will be sniffing!
I sniff your milkshake.
Step it up.
All right. So, is it time to move on to our last topic here, Kevin?
No, because Chester Cheetah seemed to be doing okay for himself.
Yeah, I think the moral of the story is you want to be the guy who can sort of like see his end of that situation, kind of make it work for you.
Yeah.
Oh, but also.
But also.
I'm glad to see some attention is being paid to this problem we're having as a society with tigers. I wanted to say, when we were down there in Cincinnati, I saw a lot of tigers, and they were just in the bar, you know, similar to what this guy was on the Twitter, you know, the squirrel that was tweeting. I don't know. It was just like, everybody's okay with it. You know, I know, like, we're supposed to be inclusive these days or whatever, you know. But, you know, sometimes I guess this PC stuff is too much for me, and I got a problem with these tigers. I don't know, Kevin. What are we going to do with them?
Well, if you don't like tigers, maybe you like chickens.
Okay, I'm listening.
So, right before we recorded here, somebody decided to do what they called the chickening, which is a very short remake of The Shining.
Yes, this is a short film, and apparently it was at Sundance, and fairly well received. I gotta say, it looks like it took a lot of effort to put this one together, because it is like, you know, they use the original film as a base, I guess you'd say.
Correct.
But then add in effects and layers of craziness.
They kind of, like, I mean, all of the creepiness that is in The Shining is taken out with another weird kind of chicken.
I mean,
like, it's a different kind of weirdness that goes on. Because yes. When, like, the twins start doing the hip-hop routine, like, that wasn't necessarily creepy to me.
No, it was just a...
But it was still kind of weird in its own way.
Yeah, it was like a bizarre mashup of, you know, and touching, like, on all these little things about the original movie, The Shining, which is kind of what makes it... you know, interesting. I'm trying to imagine, like, if you haven't seen The Shining, what you would think of this movie, because, like, just having, like, these totally random things, because you know, if you know that in the movie, like, the little boy is, like, talking, kind of looks like he's talking to his finger when he's having, like, these conversations with his imaginary friend, and in this version they have it where it's, like, a little man is on there with, like, a
cowboy hat.
In like a 5 o'clock shadow, yeah. and, yeah, they've like completely changed the little boy's like lower face to like give him all new dialogue. I was glad they didn't change Jack Nicholson.
Well, aside from putting him in a red
or yellow
sweater with a chicken on it.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't stop looking at it. It was so... It just kind of overtook the shot a little bit sometimes.
It was like a yellow... Or, you know, it was like a ugly, like, Christmas sweater kind of a design.
Yeah.
Chicken on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, little touches like that. It's it was a well-done little piece of movie making here, I gotta say.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So, if you haven't seen The Shining, I would just recommend going out and checking it out.
Well, yeah, that was just bizarre. I'm sorry. If you listen to our show, you really should be.
So, yeah, let us give a little shout-out to The Shining.
Should have watched The Shining to start with.
Yes.
So this really shouldn't catch you off guard.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like little things, like I was noticing this time around when he was in that bar scene with Lloyd, the bartender.
Uh-huh.
It turns, instead of it being a bartender, he's like a Chicken Shack employee. He comes out and and gives him like these this hot sauce to try, and then it ends up like makes him like breathe fire, and like the flames shoot out across the bar, and you can like see the light like reflected on the guy's face in the shot, and it's like, you know, little things like that that kind of like make it seem like weirdly more real and also like, you know, completely surreal at the same time.
Yeah, it was really kind of interesting. I guess I would be among those who enjoyed this. And it's only, what, about 5 minutes long?
Right, it is 5 minutes. So,
yeah.
You know, if you like The Shining and you can remember The Shining, you will enjoy this, I think.
It was pretty fun. When Brian lived out in Denver, we went to the house where The Shining was written.
Oh, where it was written? Or where it was filmed?
It both.
Oh, okay.
Because Stephen King filmed it there, not the movie with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That was not filmed there, really.
Yes.
I think they might have used some exterior shots, but it was...
about the made-for-TV version of Shining. Yes.
Yeah, that, they definitely used... Well, and it's what... Because Stephen King stayed up there. There is kind of a ghost story at the Stanley House, is the name of it.
Oh, that's
right. Because the guy that founded Stanley Steamer... needed to get out of the city to get out of the bad air.
Right.
So he lived in this remote part of Colorado.
I see.
to make sure he got in the... So he built himself a hotel so that he could have friends. Like, he knew he lived in the middle of nowhere. So he built a hotel.
So, like, all the fancy crafts would come and visit.
Right. Yeah. And someone died there, and so there's a ghost story attached to it. And Stephen King stayed there, and that's when he wrote The Shining.
Interesting.
what is it? With Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels.
Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber. The bar scene is filmed at the Stanley Hotel.
Oh, where they go to that, like, towards the end there. You know, I recently saw Dumb and Dumber 2. Unfortunately, not as good as the first one.
yeah, I did not end up watching that yet.
It was on Netflix, so I was just like, oh, Sunday afternoon, I think I was doing dishes or something, or folding laundry. I was like, oh, let's put this on. So, yeah, I can't say I was disappointed, given this situation. It lived up to its... ability to be background noise, essentially, but it was not a great movie.
Well, there was a lot of background noise for me during the show.
Hopefully, yes.
But I do have various and sundry sippy time beer topics that we could really round things out with.
Let's round it out.
Well, one would be the fact that Hoofhearted Brewing, which is from Marengo, Ohio, which is northeast of Columbus here.
I should say that I know what the brewing is called, but, you know, I sometimes think it's Hoofhearted when I hear somebody say it.
Yeah, it's H-O-O-F.
Hoof, like a horse's hoof.
Yep.
Hoofhearted.
Space. Hearted. Yes. H-E-A-R-T-E-D.
That's right.
But yeah, it is supposed to imply the who farted.
We don't want to give people the wrong idea necessarily. But yeah. If they're trying to do a Google search, who knows? Maybe Google's smart enough to send you the right direction anyway.
Yeah. Well, I had intended to have one of their beverages here for the show, but they are not selling growlers quite yet. I could have bought one of their growlers, but they would not fill said growler.
Boo.
Yeah, boo. So I did have a beer there.
What, you could have just bought an empty growler?
Yes.
Well, that sounds like not what you were looking for.
Not even a little bit. I was looking to bring some beverages over here.
Yes.
So I did have a beer there. It was Plutonium Nyborg, which was a Cascadian farmhouse ale. It drew my attention because it was 8% alcohol.
How does that relate to a cyborg, if at all?
Not at all, really.
Okay.
They do kind of have these space kind of names involved, because Voltan is their Imperial Russian stout.
They go with like a comic book kind of look to their labels, don't they? Or am I?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, so it kind of has that kind of a theme. All the names kind of have that kind of a theme. They were playing Conan the Barbarian and some old Lucha Libre wrestling on the TVs. I do really like the look of the place. All of these craft breweries kind of look like they're in an old garage.
Yeah, I noticed that. I went to actual brewing. It was kind of the same way.
Yeah, except they're in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Instead of a garage, which is almost the same.
It's pretty close, yeah.
But it was kind of nice to see like a slickly made, well-done interior. You know, it did kind of... It's within a new development of apartments down there on North 4th Street.
Oh, okay. So this was, like, put into a place that was sort of designed for, you know, mixed usage or whatever. Like a new development.
Well... Yeah, it's just the local bar for an apartment development.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is kind of like a big...
And it's definitely a selling point.
Took a big chunk of money to get that started, I bet.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I know that, like, Lifestyle Communities, they have their own bar called The Goat. Like, no matter which location you're at, it's kind of a thing that they're known for. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that a place would kind of try and find a local brewery to be an anchor.
Gotcha. Well,
but
either way, I did not get to sample that one this evening.
Yeah, Cascadian always, a lot of farmhouses aren't very heavy. They're light. But this one, because it's Cascadian, was a darker, beer, which was not too surprising. So it was more of a, black, Saison, and, it was pretty damn tasty. Nothing really stood out too much, so it wasn't, like, completely stupendous, but I did like it a lot.
Yeah. Well,
went down pretty smooth.
I've been enjoying this one here that we've had here with...
Yeah, this is a, because they were not selling growlers, I had to go to Seventh Son, and this was the Double Brett IPA. Feral is the name of the IPA, and it's 8.2%, and the Brett usually means a little bit of a sour flavor, and I am not a big double IPA fan, and this is fantastic.
Yeah, it does not really hit you on the head with the hops. They're there, but I don't know, would you say balanced, maybe? It almost has like a...
Yeah, the sourness offsets the bitterness.
And I don't know if this is something that I just think of with all their beers, but it has a little bit of a
sweet finish.
Yeah, yeah, like a fruit or floral sort of a flavor to it. But it's a tasty beer.
Yeah, and we are finishing it up now, just like we're finishing up the show. So for at DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33. Grandkids, have a good night.
And a great week.